welcome to A Drummer's Guide to, the podcast all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. My name is Emily Dolan-Davis, and I am a drummer by trade, and today I would like to talk about staying present, staying in the moment. And I could talk about that on a sort of like wider life level, but that's not what we're here to do. Let's talk about it on a music level, because So back in the day, I remember so well that the majority of my life, like from age 11 when I started playing till I want to say my sort of like early to mid 20s, was basically spent playing tons. And the older I got, the more I was playing with lots of different people in loads of different scenarios. And I distinctly remember doing the thing, you know. I turned professional, like, realistically when I was 20. I was earning a little bit before then, but in terms of like going out and living on my income was 20. And that's when I moved out of home and all that sort of stuff. And I remember having these moments where I was like, I'm doing the thing that I set out to do when I was 11, 12, 13, when I decided I wanted to do this for a living. But I'm not happy and I'm not here. I'm not present. And it was such a strange realization for me. And that is sort of like, it really all came to a head around about 2012. But prior to that, my life was spent playing all these gigs and doing all these rehearsals and, you know, doing tours even, and finding myself in incredible situations as I look back on them in hindsight. But I remember at the time, all I would be thinking about is like, okay, what's the next thing? What else do I need to do? I remember being in rehearsals or even on gigs, and my limbs would just be doing the work. Like, I knew physically how to play the gig, and, you know, inevitably, because I am who I am, I over-prepare. Everything is going like clockwork, and so I'm just like doing my job, is what I thought. I was just doing my job, I'm playing the thing. But in my brain, as I was playing, and sometimes there were big shows, and I would just be thinking, oh, right, so what am I gonna cook tomorrow? Or, you know, or so, yeah, the drive home, what am I gonna listen to? Or, you know, just silly things just running through my head. Or, oh my gosh, I've got that other gig, I need to actually prepare for that. When am I gonna practice that? I need to chart those songs. You know, all these thoughts, which I'm sure that a lot of us have, especially if you're doing gigs that you know inside and out, which is often my goal when I get onto a gig. I wanna know everything inside and out. And although there's something to be said for the fact that obviously I knew what I was doing so much that I was able to have these thoughts, which is great. That's lovely. What a lovely thing. However, as I say, this kind of striving for what's next, what else do I have to do, you know, keep pushing more, meant that I was mentally in a place where it was like I wasn't happy and I didn't know why. All my dreams as a kid were coming true, but I wasn't happy. And I mean, I'd love to tell you that there was some sort of like pivotal moment, some turning point. There wasn't. There really wasn't. There was sort of a gradual realization of this. I started out by basically leaving any situation that I was kind of clearly not enjoying. Just noticing, like, am I not present or am I not enjoying this? So I sort of like proceeded to leave a couple of situations I wasn't happy with. And I just thought, how can I be more in this? Because I've always had this other thing. So a drummer once said to me, you know, in terms of playing fairly early on, they were like, yeah, you've got to sort of dig in when you play. And it wasn't like a volume thing. It was like an attitude. And it's not an aggression thing. It's just, and the way that I describe it now is kind of like, let's say prior to 2012, when I was playing a gig or playing anything, I very much felt that I was playing on top of the music. And this wasn't intentional. I wanted to be, and like I say, digging in would mean being in the music, being a part of the foundation, like in that nitty gritty, in that thick texture, like foundations, but like underneath every song, I wanted to be in there, in the grit of it. And whether that was like anyway, I'll go into what that sort of means. But I always remember being told this, and it probably would have been, how old would I have been? Probably when I was about 20, I was told that. And I kind of was like, oh yeah, cool, I understand what you mean. I didn't. Of course I didn't. But it always stuck with me. And around 2012, so when I was 20, that was 2008. It was sort of the beginning of 2008. And in 2012, so 4 years later, I finally started understanding what that meant, but more importantly, how I perceived, or how I sort of locked into that thing of digging in and just understanding how to get there, because it isn't as simple as just going, well, I'm going to dig in today. And what I realized is for me, what that means is I'm going to be present today. I'm going to be fully concentrating. It's not even concentrating, just fully present with what is happening with this song, with this gig, like what is going on around me. And I sort of found a hook for myself to get into that, basically. And it started out in 2012, like I say, gradually, when I was playing with Cher Lloyd, because it's very, you know, it's a pop gig, and sometimes that can be tough to kind of like really stay present, because you're kind of just, you're playing the gig. But I found a way in with that. And then as I progressed, playing with Janet Devlin was a massive learning curve for me in terms of being present. I think, I'm almost certain that her gig, so Janet Devlin is a phenomenal singer from Ireland, for, I think she's from Omar, I can't remember, Omar? Wonderful, wonderful singer, wonderful human, like one of my favourites to work with. We did some touring in 2013, we spent so much time together. She is an absolute sweetheart. She happens to have a phenomenal voice, and she's also an awesome songwriter. I adore her so much. Anyway, her gigs were the first time that I knew that I was onto something, because occasionally, and I'm talking maybe three times on a whole tour within a whole set, I would find myself feeling emotional on stage. And one time I remember I was in tears one time, because I was just so connected with what she was singing, and it just gave me a real lesson in the power of being present and being in the moment and really tapping into what music's all about, which is emotion and storytelling and connection. For me, at least, that's what music is about, 100%. And then I sort of, A, I realized that, but B, I liked it. And I was like, yeah, this is what music deserves from me, definitely. To not just be present, but to be invested in what's happening. And then as time went on, I mean, Thompson Twins, I almost every night I'd be in tears about something, about one of the songs, because it was relating to something that I had been through or been in life. So anyway, this was kind of a gradual process for me. And like I said, I wish I'd done this earlier, and I'm going to share exactly how I tap into it. But I wish I'd done this earlier, because there's so many situations that I really wish I was so much more present for. There are particular things, like for instance, when I was playing with The Hours back in 2008, our first gig was at Sotheby's in New York for the Red Charity, and Bono got on stage and played a couple of songs with us. Now, I loved it, it was amazing, but I was so in my head. I was so worried and concerned and like just, you know, anxious about what was happening, that I didn't fully appreciate what was going on. I appreciated it loads, and there was a couple of moments that I loved, and I have a really bad memory generally, but I still remember two particular moments, and I will cherish them for as long as they remain in my brain. So, and I've spoken about them before. This is part of the reason that I do these videos, by the way, so that I can tell the stories, so that I remember, or someone can tell them back to me, like, you do know that you did this thing. So I'll tell you about the two things with Bono, because it's partly for me to remember. So the first one was that it was just in the building in Sotheby's, and I was by myself, and I was walking down a corridor, and Bono and a couple of his mates, I suppose, were walking the other way, and I was like so green, so new, and I was just like, oh, don't even look at him, don't talk to him. You know, I'd met him and I think we'd done a sound check at this. Yeah, we must have done a sound check or whatever. So I'd met him, but I just didn't want to be, you know, I just, you know, just don't, you know, I don't know. Like, so I was like, so it's better that I just don't do anything. Anyway, so we're walking towards each other and I'm like, right, just ignore him and it's fine. And obviously I'm tensing up. And as we passed each other, he sort of jumped over to my side of the corridor and went, blah, 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 and then just jumped back and went on. And I sort of like laughed and I was like, oh, that's okay, cool. All right, cool. He was just, it was such a sweet moment. He could see that I was incredibly uncomfortable, didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was 20, I was so green. And he tried to sort of like make me feel comfortable. And that was really nice. And I really appreciated that. Do you know what it is? I just appreciate those moments of kindness. And it doesn't need to be towards me. It can be towards other people. If anything, showing kindness towards other people really gets me even more. Like, if you want to see me cry in a movie, anything showing people being kind to each other just destroys me, because it really hits my heart. So anyway, that was super sweet. I really, really, really appreciate that. Sorry, I don't know which way my hair is going today. And the second thing was the encore of this gig that we did. So we did a whole set, which was our stuff, which was, again, I don't remember much. I have pictures, so that's what I remember, which is weird. But what I do remember is Bono getting up for a couple of songs, one of which was, there were two Beatles tunes. One of them was All You Need Is Love, and I can't remember what the other one is, so that's awesome. See what I mean? It's ridiculous. But there was one particular bit in the set where we're all just playing and whatever, and he came over to my drums and he started hitting my cymbal like with me, just playfully, like just really like fun. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, that's really, I don't know, it was just a really nice little moment of like fun. And I just thought, yeah, that's what this is. This is fun. Anyway, why did I go? Oh yeah, because I wasn't present. So like I say, I don't remember the rest of that gig. I remember those two moments. I have vague recollections of other stuff, but I definitely know that I wasn't present, because that whole hour's period of time, which was an hour and a half, it was a year and a half, some phenomenal things happened. There were so many interesting moments with fascinating people and situations, and I consider myself so lucky to have experienced them, but really I didn't experience them, because although I was there in body, in mind I wasn't, because my mind would be rushing around, it would be, you know, just full of thoughts and never actually appreciating what was happening. And I'm sure that we all have to go through this, you know, and like I say, it's a life thing, but it's also a music thing. And that was the same on stage. I would find myself drifting off, thinking about things, and rather than actually just being in it. And it's a shame because, well, I'll go into why it's a shame, because my main way in to songs are lyrics and stories, and the Hours were great storytellers and they had so much emotion in their songs that I wish I had found this key back then. Another gig that I really, really, really regret not truly being present was Tricky. Same reason. His music is so emotionally evocative. It has got, it's filled to the brim with feeling and like anger and passion and just rawness, vulnerability, that when I look back, I'm like, oh, I wish I was more present. I wish I could have tapped in the way that I know to now, because that would have been such a different gig for me. Instead, I remember being on stage and just being in a state of fear for most of it. I mean, partly was that was because the way that he runs his gigs is very flying by the seat of your pants, which I love, but it did come with it, you know, with it came a bit of anxiety, which is fine. And like I say, although I love these gigs and they were very special to me in a lot of ways, now I can literally play any gig and I can adore it from the inside and feel so, maybe happy isn't the right word because it depends on what it is, but I can feel so present and fulfilled with whatever I'm doing in that moment. So yeah, I want to tell you about how I do that. I've sort of touched on it already, but and I've touched on it in other episodes too, and that is through lyrics. Now, I've always loved lyrics. I remember being a kid, me and my sister would sit and we would, now for the very young people, we would take the CD covers out the sleeves and we would sit and we would just read along with lyrics of albums that we were listening to. Weirdly, the one that I remember the most is What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis. That whole album, we would just sit and we would just read all the lyrics. Completely obsessed with them. No idea what any of them meant. Bun in the oven, oh, that's nice, they're doing a little bit of cooking, that's nice. So I've always been into lyrics. I've also loved poetry as well, not to any sort of like degree, but lyrics and words and stories have always been, you know, lyrics to me always conjure up a lot of images, and I'm a very visual person. And so, like I said, I don't know how I tapped into this or why I remembered that I was so into lyrics, but I do remember, like I say, 2012, working with Cher Lloyd, I remember kind of tapping into that. Now, what that means is for me, because I know that some songs, for instance, are not necessarily all that deep, right? And lyrics, to me, are the gateway into the emotion of the song. Side note, if there is no singing on a song, I do find it difficult to tap in. I will say that, but that's my cross to bear. I find other ways. But lyrically, if it's telling a story, any story, I love it. I can just tap in. Like I say, if the lyrics, however, are a bit kind of superfluous, you know what I'm trying to say, if they're not that deep, not irrelevant, but they don't mean that much, I end up actually either making them mean something or making up my own lyrics that kind of sound like the lyrics, and then creating a story from that. The next level for me then is to bring my own life experience to the song, and I sing the song to myself, sometimes out loud. Don't put a mic on me, nobody needs to hear that, but I will sing the song to myself either from my point of view, if it's relevant to my life and the emotions that I have felt in the past or do feel in the moment, or from the point of view of someone that I know, if I know someone that's going through something, or, you know, I just put myself into the character of a friend, a family member, like an acquaintance, someone that I know, and I try and live out that story within the space of a 3.5 minute, 4 minute song or whatever. And I find that this has, it's just opened up a whole new world to me. Like I say, it's been over 10 years I've been doing this now, and it just brings this other level of honesty, I suppose, to the music, I like to think, at least. I mean, I don't know, I leave you to judge that, but I know I'm bringing a sense of vulnerability, honesty, emotion to the song through my playing, through the things that I'm thinking about, through being present with the lyrics that are happening, through being present with the music that is supporting that lyrics. The music that is supporting those lyrics. Sorry, it's Monday. I am not quite with it. And then in turn, the audience that is then reacting to those songs, those lyrics. And you know, they've all got their own thing that they're sort of like conjuring up in their head, their own storyline of what was happening when they first heard this song, or, you know, what they're thinking about. And it's in a weird way, it's sort of, I know this sounds a bit out there, but it's kind of another level of connection between everyone involved, and it makes me feel really a part of it, because, as I said before, it kind of, I always felt like I was playing on top of the music, and I never understood, I couldn't work out how to dig in, how to be a part of the music, and how to, like, just, it's such a hard thing to articulate. It's a feeling, it's here, it's in my stomach, it's in my chest, it's in my whole body, and it, as you can see, when I'm talking, I'm like this, but, and sorry if you're listening, but when I'm talking about being in a song, I have to crouch over myself. It's like coming from underneath the song, I guess, because it's drums and foundation and that, but it's like supporting it and giving it that support, and then that push to kind of like, here's another layer, here's another element just to bring that story across. And like I say, I found myself, it's so funny, I do make myself laugh sometimes, where there's songs, more so recently we did a an Elton John song on The Voice Kids, I think it was. And in fact, of course it was, because I'm not on the adult, so it must have been. No, I don't know whether it was this year or last year. But anyway, and I can't even remember what song it was now that I'm thinking about it. But it was really interesting because I didn't realise I had actually made up my own lyrics. I thought these were the lyrics. Turns out they weren't, because I had a subsequent conversation with someone. They're like, oh, and the lyrics to that song, oh my gosh. Like, and then they recited these lyrics and I was like, oh my goodness, that is not at all what I thought it was about. So in my head, this song was about, it's not even what this song was about. To me, the story that was playing was me singing this song to a friend of mine who I haven't seen since middle of 2020, sort of July 2020, I think. And for various reasons that I won't go into, but I miss her dearly, so dearly. And it was me singing this to her and just being like, I'm sorry that you didn't feel you could come to me, sort of thing. And it really just locked me straight in. I was just like, I'm in. And when I find that key, it's like I settle. I mean, you can see it. It's like I land and it's like, cool, right, I'm in this song, let's do this. And like I said, I do this with every song that I can, every song that I physically can. I can remember being on stage with Tom Bailey from the Thompson Twins in Chicago, I think. And Sisters of Mercy, it was. Yeah, we were playing Sisters of Mercy. And for some reason, I suddenly had this sort of vision of my great Aunt Mary, who passed away when I was like 7, something like that. And amazing woman, a lovely Geordie woman. And she just popped into my head. And all of a sudden, that song was about her, and I found myself just in floods of tears. By the way, side note, please make sure that you can play the song whilst in like floods of tears and all that sort of stuff, very important. So and it just let it all out of me, you know. It was just like, oh my gosh. And then like on gigs with like Kim Wilde, for instance, I can remember especially songs like Hanging On. I'd get so angry, like, keep me hanging on. I'd be thinking back to people that have made me feel like that they're just kind of playing with me, and just like, not playing music, like emotionally playing with me. And you know, I'd just get angry and just kind of, I'd be shouting the lyrics. I mean, hilarious. If anyone could have heard me on stage, you'd be like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, no, I am not okay. This is what I realized is that, like, this is more recently through talking with a therapist. I think that in the last 10 years, because I mean, I've definitely been in a better place mentally and more fulfilled and all that, but I'm pretty certain that my expression of all of my emotions have been coming out on stage gradually for the last 10 years. And it's really come to a head now where literally almost every song is just so emotionally charged with my experience or something around that, that I would come off stage exhausted, because I was in every song, like, so emotionally invested. And as I look at my life as I sit here right now, I've realized that I didn't do that outside of music, which turns out not great. Wouldn't recommend it, and I won't really go into that, but I think that sort of like being able to tap into the lyrics and the emotions and being present within a gig really has not just served the music, the gig, the songs. It's the same with recording as well. Oh my gosh, the amount of times that I've got through songs to play and I've just found myself in tears because the lyrics have hit me in a way that just, I don't know. I don't even know why they've hit me in the way that they have. People like, I got to do a couple of shout outs. So John Martin, who is in Alberta, in Canada, his songs, lyrically, I don't know what he does, how he does it, almost every time, if not like a real like connection to my heart, I'm literally crying. Matthew Stephen James, another one, phenomenal songwriter. Bird and Butterfly, again, had me in tears. And these are with demos, bear in mind. Demos, they're not even fully produced songs. They're just like, Oh, and then Francis, Alex Wesley. Oh my gosh, there's a song that I did for him. Again, it wasn't even, it wasn't sad, it wasn't crying. It was, I tell you what it was. It was desperation. It was desperation. And just, like I say, on a demo, but I just know how to tap into that story. And I like to hope, I mean, I'm not here to judge whether I do this effectively or not. You can judge. I'd like to think that it brings another element to everyone's music and songs, and whether that's, like I say, recording, whether that's live, I'd like to me, a big part of my job now is to just help convey those emotions. And in a way, I don't know, there's also really nice, I say nice moments, they're sad, but there's moments that hit me occasionally on gigs, on songs where someone will suddenly, like there'll be an image of someone appearing to me in a song, and it shocks me almost, because it might be someone that I've not even thought about for a couple of years or maybe longer. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, why has that happened? Like, why am I thinking of that person? So I'll reach out to them and be like, hey, so I was just thinking about you on a gig. That was weird. And inevitably it's sort of like nice to open up a dialogue. Equally, people that have passed away, I've had that a lot recently, where they've come to me and I'm able to have a moment of grief for them and maybe have a little cry. Certainly have a moment of gratitude about the fact that they're not here, but I get to be. I spoke about that a little bit on a previous podcast episode that I got a bit emotional about, if I remember rightly. But anyway, yeah, it's just such an interesting thing to kind of be truly present when you're doing stuff, and I've sort of, I guess I've extended that a little bit as well over the years. So not just to being on stage, in terms of just general work, doing anything really, I try to be really present, which is hard, it's difficult. In terms of work, I find it easier because I'm pretty sure I'm on some sort of scale on the autistic spectrum somewhere, because I'm really good at like hyper-focusing on stuff. So just one thing, as long as I've just got one thing to focus on, I'm really happy. If I get distracted, I get a little bit uncomfortable. But so it's the same sort of principle in terms of like being present. I'm only thinking about that one thing. Like right now, as I'm doing this, I'm literally thinking about this, nothing else. Well, aside from anything, I'm talking, so thinking and talking at the same time, very difficult. It happens though. But anyway, I try to be incredibly present, and whether that's, you know, even something as simple as answering emails, oh, I just cricked my neck, you know, whether that's recording or doing one-on-one coaching with people, great example. Like I must be 100% present with that person, because that is what is important to me. It's just, there's something about the respect of being in the moment for the people that you're with or for what you're trying to do. And that can range all over the shop. Now, what I will say also, although I'm although I feel I'm getting better and I'm fairly all right at being present when I'm working, whether that's on stage, whether that's in the studio or whatever else, I am horrendous at it in real life, if you like, in life outside of work. I'm really, 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 really not great. I'm trying to work on that. What I realise, and again, this is chatting to my therapist recently, I am not good with uncomfortable emotions, which I'm sure that most of us aren't. Now, where I would, what I've realised is, basically, my coping mechanism for uncomfortable emotions is usually revolving around some sort of existential crisis, which is great. Nice and light kind of stuff. My coping mechanism is to delve into work. And that is why I always say I've got a very addictive personality, which I do. I know this about myself. It's something I've known for a very long time, long before I started playing the drums. But my substance of choice in dealing with these uncomfortable feelings and in line with my addictive personality is working. And I know that you know that because you see that all the things that I sort of put out there, I work a lot, I work hard, I do work hard, to my detriment a lot of the time, which is a shame. But the point is, part of that is because I'm trying to escape those feelings of discomfort. And like I say, it's a wide-ranging array of emotions there that I try to, or I have been trying to avoid in my daily life, if you like. And the only time, like I say, in the last 10 years, I've realised I've been letting them out a little bit on stage, which is great for me personally. I think it's really good. However, I think also now I'm trying to allow them to exist in real life too. It's terrifying. I hate it. It's very uncomfortable, but actually I think it's really necessary because I've actually become really afraid of those bad emotions. And this is going to sound dumb, and I apologize if A, this is really obvious, or B, this is a bit too much, but I don't care because this might resonate with someone, because I read this thing recently that absolutely changed my life and my understanding. I read this 3-4 weeks ago, and honestly, everything I've understood about myself has just flipped on its head. I thought I thought that you were in life, you were only meant to feel all the good emotions. I thought that you were always meant to feel happy and positive and joy and, you know, just all these nice emotions. And if you were feeling anything negative, anything on the other end of the spectrum, it was wrong, you were failing, you weren't allowed, it was bad, like all these things, like you're not meant to feel those things. So consequently, I've spent my life trying to avoid these negative feelings, thinking that you're not meant to feel those things. If you do, you're doing it wrong. You're doing life wrong. You're meant to always feel good and always feel happy and positive. Anyway, I read this book and it basically says, oh, no, 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 you're meant to feel all the feelings. And it sounds so simple. And if this resonates with one person that's listening right now, you will understand how absolutely profound this is. I didn't know you were A, allowed, and B, I was going to say two, meant to feel all the emotions, all the spectrum of the emotions in life. And I've been sort of delving into that recently and coming to terms with that. And I've realised that I created such a, it's almost like a barricade, like with lots of barbed wire and all these things to avoid me feeling all those things, all the bad things, that actually all those bad feelings kept growing and growing into this monster that inevitably would rear its ugly head occasionally, and it would manifest themselves in like panic attacks or, you know, just feeling really down. Like I've already said many times before, I suffer with depression. I'm on medication now for that, but I do wonder if a lot of that comes from this kind of avoidance of these negative feelings. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that now I'm kind of exploring all the emotions, which is incredibly empowering, can I just say. And yeah, they suck, these negative emotions, but I'm becoming less scared of them, which is really interesting. I'm fascinated by this journey that I'm going through right now. But in a way, my release of those feelings were definitely on stage and through music and through song, and that was how I dealt with these uncomfortable emotions. And as I say, I'm expanding out into real life, and it's making me be able to be more present in real life too. And I know that I wasn't going to go life on this episode, but it is interesting. I just find it interesting that it seems to be translating to that as well now that I know that. So anyway, the whole point of this episode, I think, there's not often a real point, actually. It's just me chatting, isn't it? But I just wanted to sort of like share, I guess, the fulfillment that I get through being truly present when I'm working, when I'm on stage, when I'm even in rehearsal rooms, honestly. The other thing that I realized as well, that before I started doing this, the way that I would try to connect with the other musicians on stage was occasionally now, but not so much, was staring at them playing, like not into their eyes or anything, that would be a bit creepy, but like staring at their instrument to kind of really connect and get into what we were doing. It was fine, it kind of worked, but looking back, I probably freaked out quite a few people that I was playing with. So apologies to anyone that's played with me and feels like I kind of freaked them out or whatever. In saying that, you know, it's not like I don't look at anyone on stage, but when I do, it's poignant, you know? It's moments with those people on stage. It's not how I'm getting into the song, it's how we're all in the song together, and then we have these moments of connection, which are like sparks, like magic, just like cohesion and peace and excitement, and it depends on the song, obviously, and sadness and emotion. It's so interesting. I find it so interesting. But anyway, that's how I stay present. That's how I get into songs. That's how I try and bring extra things to the songs that are not necessarily tangible, and but I do believe add a huge element to what I bring as a drummer. And as I say, I hope that this has kind of either given you some things to think about or inspired you to find your own way to sort of like dig in and get into the grit of a song, because it's so much more fulfilling to be present and to truly be there rather than always thinking about, oh, and what next, and what's the next thing that I need to do, what's the next thing that I need to do, because otherwise you just it passes you by. And like I say, when did I start playing? So yeah, the first 10-ish years, no, more than that, 15 years? No, 14, 13 years, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, of me playing, I feel like they just passed me by. They really did. I'm not saying I'd want to go back, because I love where I am right now. Everything that's happened to me has led me to this point, and I love where I am right now. I really, really do. I can't tell you how lucky I feel. But yeah, I think it's just great to know that now I'm able to truly be present in everything that's happening, and I have a mechanism, I have a way to connect in to that energy and that moment in music. I'm working on the life stuff, so you can follow me with that journey, because that's an everyday thing. I did it this morning over eating my breakfast and having a coffee, and I was just looking out the window. I was very present. It was very good. And yeah, but anyway, I hope that this has sort of like resonated with you in some way, and just, as I say, if anything, just to make yourself present in what you're doing, because when you play an instrument, I don't know, it's such a great thing. Like, why would you not want to be present in every way? The other thing that I will say, sorry, I was about to end, but the other thing I will say is that it's really useful as well for in moments where you find yourself very self-conscious when you're playing, because I, not so much now, very occasionally I do something when I'm playing, let's say I make a mistake, and yes, I make mistakes because we're all human, I might sort of suddenly get out of that flow and suddenly be very hyper aware of what I'm playing and just like, oh my goodness, like what is going on, and judging myself or worrying about what other people are thinking, blah, 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 all that horrible inside chatter. So as soon as that starts happening, I start looking outside, I start listening outside and just not paying attention to myself, if that makes sense. So that kind of helps, and again, lyrics are the way back in for me, to being present with what's happening rather than just being in my own head, which is a nightmare. But anyway, I hope that this has helped you in some way. I hope that you, I just hope this gives you some ideas if you're interested in becoming more present with what you're doing in work, in life, anything really. And I'd love to hear also what you do to stay present and in the moment with anything that you do. I just love hearing from you guys. So anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, please do feel free to like, subscribe and share with any friends. Also, if you would like to go the extra mile, you can now support this podcast on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, you will get exclusive access to new episodes. You will get to give me some suggestions on topics you'd like me to cover. And I also do Zoom hangs on there too. So I'd love to see you over there. And I thank you in advance. You have my eternal gratitude for the support. But yeah, like I say, patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And also, if you want to see any of the millions of things that I do, like I say, I am a workaholic. You can go to emilydrums.com. There's so many different facets to what I do, not just this podcast and not just drumming. Yes, I like to keep busy because I'm a workaholic and I'm avoiding all the emotions. No, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. But anyway, I'm going to love you. I'm going to leave you. I hope you're having a great day, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right. Mwah. See you later. Bye.